We will conclude our morning series of candidate forums in this half hour featuring the state senators facing recall elections in August and their challengers. Today, we welcome in Democratic State Senator Jim Holprin of Conover in Wisconsin's 12th Senate District. He faces a recall election on August the 16th. His Republican challenger, Kim Simak, declined our invitation to participate in a similar forum. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, July the 29th. We will welcome your questions for Senator Holprin about the issues in this race at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. State Senator Jim Holprin joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Gary Knowles says hello.
Oh.
You were once a state tourism secretary, and I think you knew Gary Knowles, one of our regular guests through that.
That's right. Gary was always very active in the hospitality industry. He remains so today, and was a great mentor to me.
Well, Senator Holprin, why should voters in your district keep you in office?
Well, because I have another year and a half to go on my term, and I believe that I've served the voters of the 12th Senate District in a manner which they have wanted. I've tried to support our local economic development for communities in the North Woods through a variety of means. I've had a voting record that shows I support hunting and fishing rights in our North Woods traditions, that I support environmental protection, that I favor programs which support our senior citizens and retirees, and that I've worked hard to improve the infrastructure and the economy in our small towns and small cities in north, central, northeastern Wisconsin.
Well, your Republican challenger in this race, Kim Simak, who declined our invitation to participate in a similar forum, was the organizer, the primary organizer of the recall campaign against you. Her reasoning is that in part you left the state. You and your other Democratic state Senate colleagues left the state to postpone a vote on the budget repair bill. Why did you do that?
Well, first, let me say I wish Kim were here to speak directly with me and to the voters about the issue. She's shown some reluctance to do that, and that's unfortunate. This is the third time which, quote, scheduling conflicts, unquote, have prevented her from being in front of a microphone to take questions from the voters and to talk to people. So when you talk about being AWOL or about being absent and unwilling to face voters, I think we're seeing an awful lot of that out of her campaign. But to your question, Joy, I understand how so many people are upset about 14 Democratic senators leaving the Capitol to prevent a vote on a very important issue, and I respect that point of view. But, Joy, I've met during this campaign literally thousands of individuals who have a different perspective. You know, they believe and tell me that I had a duty to do everything in my power to delay a vote on the policy components of that budget repair bill so that their voice of objection could be heard. And they tell me your leaving the Capitol and delaying that vote for a few days gave me a chance, gave me an opportunity for my voice to be heard in this state. So for those thousands of citizens, I did do my job. I did do my duty. And on this particular occasion, of course, my job did not happen to be showing up, in their view, for a vote. It took another form. Of course, we did return to the Capitol. We did vote on the fiscal elements of the budget repair bill. I was one of only three Democrats to vote with the governor on that. I voted yes. And I may lose my job over this issue. I'm being recalled. But politics is about choosing. And in this case, with conflicting voices talking to me, I chose to listen to those who said, do not let them take away from me very important rights without a fight.
Looking back now at in particular, the collective bargaining restrictions that were a part of that budget repair bill, Governor Walker said that local municipalities and school districts needed to have more flexibility and needed these tools to balance the budget once they received the state budget cuts that they received. Is it working out that way now? Is Governor Walker, did it work out the way he said it was going to work out?
Well, my own opinion of this, Joy, and I think it's shared by many Senate Democrats, is that there needed to be concessions made by state employees regarding contributions to their benefit plan, contributions to health insurance, to their pension. Those concessions needed to be made and ultimately were given, not always willingly, but they were conceded by public employees. And that was sufficient to balance the budget. That was the governor's major concern. Maybe he tried to have people believe his only concern was to balance the budget, and the concessions made would have done that. But he went further, and I don't think it was necessary to go further. I don't think it was necessary to eliminate completely collective bargaining rights in Wisconsin. Now that that's happened, is it working? We don't know, because most of the municipalities in the state and the school districts are still operating under old contracts, and new budget years haven't begun. So I think it's a little too early to tell. Even the governor will say, let's let some time go by, and then Wisconsin will be in a better place. I think others would say, let's let some time go by, and we'll see.
We're talking with Jim Holprin. He is a Democratic state senator from Conover. He represents the 12th Senate District in northern Wisconsin. That includes Merrill, Rhinelander, and goes east to the Michigan border. He faces a recall election on August the 16th. His Republican opponent is Kim Simak. She declined our invitation to appear on a similar forum. We welcome your questions for Jim Holprin, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first caller is Steve in Stevens Point. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Joy. Thank you, Jim, for fighting the good fight for the people of Wisconsin. But I do have a question and a concern. I'm wondering why it seems that most of the Democratic candidates that are up for recall are skirting the issue a little bit on why they left the state.
Well, I guess we lost. I'm sorry, Steve. I don't know what you mean by skirting the issue, and we lost a connection with your phone. So I'm not sure. Are you skirting any issues there, Senator Holprin?
Well, Steve might have meant, why did we use the procedural tactic that we did? Why did we delay a vote? Why didn't we just stick around and take the vote? And that's a legitimate question, a relevant question that many voters ask me. And the answer is because, again, there are many, many voters in this state who believe that the suddenness with which that budget repair bill, again, a bill that had some things to do with balancing the budget, but also had a lot more policy content in it that many were unaware of at the time. Those voters wanted time, first of all, to know what was in the bill completely. Second of all, to understand the significance and the scope of what was in that bill. Third, to be able, if they wanted to object to a very significant policy change that was going to have a direct effect on them fiscally and in other ways going forward. So we understood this constitutional provision was available for us to delay a vote, and so we used that strategy to delay the vote. We thought it would only be for a few days. It turned out to be for 11 session days, or for 3 weeks in calendar time. But again, the state is split right down the middle on this. Half the people think we did the right thing. The other half think we did the wrong thing, and that's what these recalls are about, and that's what a lot of the divisiveness and polarization in this state is about today.
Yeah. Next, we go to Brad in Whiting. Hello, Brad.
Hi there. Kim Simak, she wants to put a cross in every school, yet she divorced her husband in the same week her now husband divorced his wife, and then their exes wound up marrying each other. But my question for you is, do you think that Kim's use of words like Nazi and Hitler, like Glenn Beck does when describing her opponents, is appropriate?
I have to admit, I'm not sure everything that was just said there is accurate. Do you have any comment on that, Senator Holprin?
Well, again, I won't address any of those issues, but if the candidate herself would make herself more available to the media to answer voters' questions, it would be helpful, I think. So I'm not going to speculate on any of that. I've seen some of it in the blogosphere and in the media, but I think candidates do owe it to the voters to show up at these forums, and she has simply been unwilling through these, quote, scheduling conflicts to not make herself available.
Mm-hmm. She did a pre-recorded interview with Wisconsin Public Radio's Glenn Mohlberg that aired last night on Route 51, our regional program that comes out of our Wausau bureau. I believe you were a part of that forum, but you were there and she was on tape?
That's right.
Yeah. You can, if you want to, check out that forum that was aired last night on Route 51 on the website. I think it's at wpr.org/Wausau. I guess that's where it's at. If you'd like to speak with Jim Holprin right now, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Quick check of the weather. After some morning fog, expect mostly sunny skies today with highs in the 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, July the 29th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Week in Review. Two guests, different perspectives, all the top state and national news stories of the week. Right now, we are concluding our series of candidate forums with State Senator Jim Holprin. Jim Holprin faces a recall election on August the 16th. And our next caller for him is Greg in Stevens Point. Hello, Greg.
Yeah, hi. I am a taxpayer up in Lincoln County, and I can't vote for or against you, so... But I was curious. I didn't feel represented as a taxpayer, private worker. I felt like you were representing a certain group of people. And can you explain? I mean, the mantra for the Democratic Party has been how is this going to hurt the middle class? And I consider myself middle class. I am a taxpayer. Can you explain to me how it's going to hurt me? Because that's been
how what's going to hurt you, Greg?
Any policies that this governor has put through so far.
Anything going to be hurting our caller, Senator Holprin?
Well, I don't know his personal circumstances, Joy, financial or otherwise, but this governor and the Republican legislature have chosen to balance a budget completely by cutting programs. And that's kind of a new approach. It's one they say they campaigned on and what the voters want. But I don't know that the voters bargained for the extent of the cuts. And yet, at the same time, to give other benefits to corporations and businesses in this state at the same time that some programs are being cut. So if the caller is enrolled in the university system, there will be higher tuition and probably more than would ordinarily be the case because of state budget cuts. The same with the technical college system. If the caller was ever eligible or had family members eligible for Badger Care or Medicare or senior care or family care, those programs are being cut. If the caller had children enrolled in the school system in Wisconsin, there may be larger class sizes, fewer teachers, fewer extracurricular activities. That may be some of the consequences. Again, we'll have to wait and see as the budget gets implemented. But those are some of the outcomes. Yet, Joy, you know, this budget spends more money than the one 2 years ago did. It spends 1.8% more. It's, 1.1% more. It's a $1.8 billion more in spending under this budget than the last two-year budget. So it's not like the budget itself is being cut. Its programs are being cut. Well, what happened to the extra cash? It's going out the door in benefits to corporations and businesses, tax cuts, credits, the tax breaks, loans and grants, things like that, and, frankly, more into the Medicaid program. That's why we're spending more. But the fact is that this budget is about priorities, and the priority was to cut programs and give benefits to big business.
Yeah. Were those benefits to big business needed in any way to open up Wisconsin for business, to help create jobs during this very hard recession?
Well, that's the argument. I think some in the minority party would contest that, would say that that may not necessarily be the case, especially with very expensive tax breaks like the return to combined reporting. That's a program that is going to cost the state $46 million just in the first year. in this first budget, and more over the next few years. But this combined reporting tax loophole, which was closed by the last legislature, is very, very costly, but affects national corporations like McDonald's and Microsoft and Pepsi and Frito-Lay, all very profitable companies, which can well afford to pay their fair share of taxes. But under now returning to the corporate loophole of combined reporting, which this budget does to the tune of $46 million, these companies are just going to be given a tax break, basically, and I'm not so sure they need it.
Our next caller is Cece in Green Bay. Hello, Cece.
Hello. I am curious about Governor Walker's attempt to negotiate with the senators when they were in Illinois. I actually thank the senator for going to Illinois and giving the taxpayers an opportunity to actually see what the bill was. But I wondered, there was a lot of press about whether or not he did or did not talk to you when you were out of town.
There were very limited contacts made. I think most of the conversation was with the Senate Majority Leader in terms of trying to negotiate a compromise on a collective bargaining issue. But the original reason for us staying away from the Capitol was to simply delay a vote on the bill after a few days. Then we thought compromise with the governor would be possible, and we entered into some very, very informal talks with the administration and with the Senate Majority Leader. Those proved after 10 or 11 days not to be fruitful, and so we returned to the state. But, I guess it's arguable, depends on your point of view, who was sincere and who wasn't sincere in terms of negotiations going on about combined reporting while we were away from the Capitol, or not about collective bargaining while we were away from the Capitol. So we tried, we failed.
Russ in Kakana is with us. Hello, Russ.
Yes, good morning. I got a question for your representative. You say that it's not right to give businesses tax breaks and that. But in the long term, who makes things? Who makes widgets? Does the government make widgets? Who creates the jobs? The private sector creates jobs. What you do is you're the end result of it. We pay you taxes. So when you don't give credits to the businesses that hire the people, you don't get paid, neither the teachers in that. So it's kind of frustrating when you hear we give all these tax breaks to the rich and corporations. They create the jobs to help you pay to stay in business in your government.
Well, you have a response to that, Senator Holprin?
That's exactly right. They do engage in those activities, and for that reason, they are partners. We need those companies so that we may provide the many state services that we offer. But as you've seen, Russ, those companies don't take the state money that they get through some of these programs and always create jobs. We try to target it that way, but it doesn't always work that way. You followed the pay that corporate CEOs are enjoying these days. You followed stock buybacks. You followed the amount of money that many of these corporations are simply stockpiling, not creating or hiring, creating jobs or hiring, but simply stockpiling cash. And so you see that, and it's sometimes difficult to tell what a company is going to do with the government benefits that it enjoys. So these are always pertinent and relevant questions that we have to ask. But in some cases, in my opinion, in this past budget, there was no attempt to ask those questions. The corporate tax breaks were simply provided. They were simply handed over to these big national corporations, especially in the case of combined reporting, without asking the tough questions about creating jobs. And in my view, that doesn't help anyone, and it hurts some of the basic and valued services that the state needs to provide.
Mm-hmm. What is your reaction to the June jobs report and the 9,500 jobs created in Wisconsin in June? And the governor was proud of that.
Well, and he should be proud, and so should the legislature. The state is moving in the right direction in that regard, Joy, and it's good to see that our state economy was among the other, lucky states and hardworking states that had good job creation. There were 32,000 new jobs added in Texas. California added 28,000. Next door in Michigan, 18,000 new jobs. And on the other side in Minnesota, 13,200 new jobs. So some of the more progressive states are adding jobs, and the economy is coming back, and we're all very glad to see that.
Our next caller is Dave in Eau Claire. Hello, Dave.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to ask the senator what he thinks of the early retirement stipends, because teachers and state workers, many can retire at 55. They get a certain percentage of their salary and paid benefits until they're 65. Here in Eau Claire, that's going to cost $280 million. I work in business and have for 25 years and have an MBA. I've never seen one single private sector company have to or think about or even consider or offer anything like that. Does he think that collective bargaining, if we continued to keep it, would continue that practice?
We have just a little more than a minute.
No, I don't think if we had kept collective bargaining, those practices would continue. Clearly, state employees and public employees, school district employees, would have been required to contribute more to their pension benefits, more to their health care. And, you know, Joy, over the years, the collective bargaining law in the state has been changed many, many times. It was changed in the 1990s with the QEO, which limited the ability of employees to do some certain collective bargaining things at the table. So we've changed it many times. We were in a position to be able to change it again this time, but to completely eliminate it, that went too far.
Yeah, and in our final 30 seconds, your closing arguments. Why should voters return you to office?
Well, again, because I have about a year and a half left on my term, I was elected to a four-year term. I believe I should be allowed to complete that term, and I believe that I've acted in the best interests of the voters of the 12th Senate District in terms of improving our local economy, protecting our natural resources, working hard for programs that, like senior care, that protect our older Americans and retirees. And I want to continue that work on behalf of Northern Wisconsin and the 12th Senate District, and can only do so if I'm allowed to continue to complete my four-year term.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You bet, Joy. Thank you.
Jim Holprin, Democratic State Senator from Conover in Wisconsin's 12th Senate District. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.